Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern's Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Dr. Most.
Good morning, Dean. How are you guys doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I wish I had actually written down the date that you had first started joining us here in this 9:30 segment, because I think we were somewhere around a three-year anniversary with you.
Well, because COVID started, so.
Right, yeah. Right. That's what I'm thinking. And just, you know, and remember when, you know, the various stages of COVID, you know, how we got through it and it came back and, you know, back and forth. Again, where are we exactly right now in the fight against COVID, Kev?
Yeah, Daniel, it's interesting. Like you said, think about that. 3 years ago, so we've talked about this maybe 150 times over that period of time and how the story has changed and the advancements have changed. So we're very, very fortunate to be, I think, where we're at right now. And it's really interesting. You ask, where are we at the fight with COVID right now? And it's probably one of the biggest questions a lot of your listeners have is, okay, wait, I had my other booster. When is my next booster? And that's the thing that we're really waiting for right now, because the FDA and CDC have been somewhat silent on when the next booster is going to be, while other countries are advancing that additional booster at this point.
To what do we attribute this delay on the part of the people who are supposed to be responsible for making the decisions on it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that there's a couple of points that just make this fascinating. One is, you know, May 10th, May 11th, when the EUA is dropped, all of a sudden that vaccine is no longer going to be covered by the federal government. Now, they said, hold on, time out, don't worry. We have bought this surplus of vaccines, but when they run out after May 10th, you will start to be charged for them. The other thing is, the science has shown us over and over again that after that vaccine, after about 6 months of that vaccine, the antibodies wane, so they're decreasing. So whether we're waiting to say, wait a second, are we going to see a surge? But then is it going to be a rush to say, okay, now everybody, we're starting to see these big increases, so everybody get vaccinated. It's very fascinating to many of us that they at least have not said, hey, those over the age of 75, those with underlying conditions, please get, you know, an additional booster. It's blowing us away as far as what the next steps may be.
So since we have gone through you know, various stages of immunization, if it does surge, if it does come back, will it be deadly like it was in the beginning? Or now is it, you know, a milder, you know, form of it all if it should come back?
Yeah, if it comes back, and that may be one of the reasons they're waiting to say, are we going to get a new strain and do we wait for that? But if it does come back, you know, Darwinism over the history of viruses has shown us that viruses that are very, very virulent and kill people and do bad things kind of hit a poof and then they're gone because we've learned how it works. We've eliminated the transmission and we decreased the host transfer and therefore the virus doesn't do well. COVID, on the other hand, has done well because it's become less virulent, right? It's not killing as many people, not putting as many people in the hospital, yet continues to spread because of its more of a mild illness. And it's typical to what we see with influenza. So I think, you know, if we see another boost, it's going to be a little bit of a subvariant change, but I think it's going to continue to be more mild inconvenience than it's going to be the, you know, the deadly virus that we saw in the initial stages of COVID.
Was the last booster shot, the third one, was that one more effective? Because I asked my doctor, because I just went past my 6 month, because I had mine in September, and I asked my doctor, should I be getting a fourth one? And she said that, well, you took the last one, seemed to be, it had more, and I don't know the technical terms, but was that one stronger or more effective? Because she seemed to think that I had an extra immunity maybe until the fall, because that third booster was a little more...
Had more juice
or whatever. Yeah. Is that true?
Yes, Swati, it's great the way that you even made the question. Not that it had more juice. Okay, so if we all remember, COVID hit 3 years ago. We immediately knew the genomic structure, and we started to make a vaccine for that. By the time we got the vaccine up and in production and ready to go, the virus had actually mutated, right? So now we still gave everybody the vaccine because we knew it would give them some protection. Then we get BA4 and BA5 to come out and we say, okay, the booster is going to be specific for them. So is it a super booster? No, but it's more targeted to the strains that are circulating.
Right.
So that initial vaccine we got was a kind of a generic. It's going to cover all COVID. The booster that we got was, hey, this is what we're specifically seeing going on in the community, and that's why it was so much more effective. And we just saw those hospitalizations drop as the vaccine worked and the virus became less virulent.
I don't even know what my vaccine schedule was. I think I got my last one around the beginning of the year, maybe.
This year?
I think, honestly, I don't remember.
So do you think I should get another one?
I think your second booster was a little bit earlier. But you had COVID then, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
My
point is I don't even know where I am with the schedule. Yeah. I don't know. I think a lot of people
on your card.
You've just kind of, you know what? They didn't even fill out my card. The last two vaccinations.
Oh, my goodness.
They didn't write the dates down on my card.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah. So,
Doctor, do you think I should get another one before May?
Well, the CDC is being silent on it, right? There's many of us that say, hey, with that 6 months, anybody who is immunocompromised, we say yes. But until the FDA says, yes, go ahead, or this is who's allowed, it's really going to be turned away saying, hey, you're not eligible.
Oh.
Now, they may still be a little concerned because our vaccination rate for those over the age of 65 was still at a miserable, a low 40%. So they may be saying, wait, before we give this to anybody who's already had a couple, let's hold some back to make sure that if we do have another strain, someone who hasn't received it yet and has no protection should be getting the vaccine first.
So you can be rejected. I just can't get one for the heck of it then.
No, for the heck of it, you should walk in. They will check your vaccine record against the state who has, all of your records. And they would say, you know what, you're not eligible at this point.
Oh. Yeah. You'll see him behind the counter.
I was just trying
you'll see him behind the counter laughing.
I was just trying to just trying to be precautious though.
There's that guy again. That guy's trying to sneak another vaccine.
Could you give me a bigger needle this time so it hurts a little more?
let's get some questions in for Dr. Kevin Most. 312-981-7200 on phone or by text, 312-981-7200. The 847 area code says, if a person has had Guillain-Barré syndrome, will the combined shot be safe or will a single booster shot be available for those who cannot have the flu shot?
Yeah. So it's interesting. Individuals who had Guillain-Barré, which is ascending paralysis, so it's very, 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 very rare. So I don't want to scare people, but I do want them to be somewhat educated about it. So Guillain-Barré is a syndrome that ascending paralysis, in other words, a paralysis starts in your lower legs and works its way up, and you can have a total body paralysis. That is, for the most part, temporary. It will come back. Now, it being so rare and us not knowing a whole heck of a lot about Guillain-Barré, it's like one in a million or one in 1.5 million people will get it. Doctors are often going to be extremely hesitant and say, you know what? Don't get the vaccine. Don't even get flu vaccine. We're going to make sure that we treat you and watch you cautiously because we're not sure how many people are going to get Guillain-Barré on top of Guillain-Barré. If it's 1.5, one in 1.5, we certainly don't want to chance that you're going to have another episode of Guillain-Barré or worse. So we're just really looking at it and saying, hey, let's make sure we give the vaccine to those who are appropriate. And if anybody has reasons to not get the vaccine, let's try to protect them in other measures as well as we can.
All right, let's get some more calls in for Dr. Kevin Most right after break, 312-981-7200. Dr. Kevin Most, Central DuPage Hospital, on the line with us as always. And we go to Joanne on the phone line. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most on WGN.
Hi. I'm just wondering, I sing with a community choir, and right now we are still requiring new members to show proof of vaccine. And I'm just wondering, is that still necessary for organizations to ask individuals to show their vaccine cards to prove that they've been vaccinated?
Yeah, Janine, it's a struggle that we're all going through. I'll tell you how I feel how I feel personally, and then, you know, really obviously the groups are going to make up their own decisions as they try to protect those around. Proof of vaccine is great, you know, showing that you've been vaccinated and doing the right thing, but that really doesn't tell us much because, as you know, or as we've spoken in the past, even though you're vaccinated, you can still get COVID. You can have asymptomatic COVID. You can have mildly symptomatic. So proof of vaccine is not going to show us much. What I would say to the community choir is say, hey, anybody who has any symptoms or has had any exposure to COVID in the past 10 days should not participate. That would protect your choir way better than proof of vaccine.
And that is what we are telling people. If you, we're telling people, even if you are just not even feeling well, if you feel a little sniffly and coughy, just stay home from rehearsals for the week.
And it's great because think about it. In your choir, you're all standing close to each other. You're singing. So your chance of spreading it is much higher in a small group with many people singing than in a small group of people out to dinner, you know, 5 or 6 feet away from each other. Your chance of spreading it in through that around that entire choir is very high.
Good enough. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 847 area code says, could you ask Dr. Kevin to talk about long-term COVID, peer-reviewed studies emerging about neurological, cardiovascular, immune effects over long-term COVID?
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of studies now coming out about long-term because we have hit a point where we can see that more and we can start to trend it. The interesting things that have been coming out about long-term COVID to this listener's question is a lot of the impact was on the original strain of COVID because it got to us neurologically. It got deeper into our lungs instead of staying superficially in the upper respiratory tract that we're seeing now, and it got into our heart. So we're seeing that those numbers are actually decreasing for long COVID, and it appears that the original strain of COVID had much more opportunity to get in and do damage. Now, we're still trying to figure out with long COVID, is it a simmering illness? In other words, is that virus still replicating and still causing some havoc? Or has it just done damage to these areas where we really don't repair well? In other words, if you had an incident in your liver, the liver can kind of repair itself. We have incidents on our skin. The skin repairs itself. In the lungs, not so much. In the heart, not so much. And in the brain, not so much. So I'm seeing three organs that don't do well repairing themselves, and we're seeing more of the long-term impact on that original COVID. I will say that with Omicron, though, the chance of long COVID has decreased, and we're really starting to look now at more treatments that we might give people who have COVID to decrease the chance of long COVID.
773 area code says, I'm diabetic and had the third booster. And had the third booster, never had COVID. Why is that?
Well, it's like
they weren't exposed.
Correct. You either have been very lucky that your exposure didn't cause illness, or you've been very careful, which I would hope a diabetic has listened all this time and said, okay, I'm going to wear a mask, I'm going to wash my hands, I'm going to distance. Until you get exposed to the virus, and you now have gotten your vaccines, so you're in a very good place. But don't think you're Superman, because you can go out and get COVID today if you get exposed.
Yeah, I mean, that's good that somebody who is diabetic and in a high-risk category never got affected by it all. It means you're doing something right?
Play the lottery, too.
Yeah, get some lottery tickets today. 847, could the doctor answer whether the vaccinations have anything to do with heart problems that have surfaced in older adults?
No, so it's interesting when we're looking at the incidence of heart problems in any older people with any vaccines. We have to remember that vaccines stimulate the immune system, and the immune system gets stimulated. Like we talked about Guillain-Barré. Guillain-Barré is when the immune system gets kind of overstimulated and attacks nerves. We're starting to see some concerns that people are saying, wait a second, is the immune system getting overly affected and going after where the virus is and causing damage to the other muscle or other organs, whether it's kidneys, the heart, the lungs? But certainly no association with a vaccine causing heart problems. More that the vaccine has turned on the immune system and has gone to fight the virus, and it's done some damage where the virus has been sitting, which is exactly what we want it to do, is, you know, knock out the virus. But unfortunately, it impacts healthy cells as well.
Let's wind up the segment with a big thanks to Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Kev, I hope you have a great Sunday today. Thank you for all the great info.
You got it, Dean. We'll talk next week.